Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and I'm joined by my co-host, Cody Thompson. Cody, what would be a good word to describe you?
Well, you just, on the third try, this is the only time you haven't said trusty co-host.
That's
so
right.
Let's go with trusty.
Trusty co-host. And Tracy Noble, our adult supervision here, our producer. Tracy's on mic today,
Pat.
Too. And we've got Matt on the computer. He's our trusty engineer. And we today are going to talk about what? What's our topic, Cody?
Today, we're going to talk about why you should protect small business.
That's right. Small business matters. And during this time of year, especially, it seems that we see commercials on television touting the importance of shopping locally in mom-and-pop businesses in our community. In fact, last Saturday was Small Business Saturday that follows Black Friday. Ironically, some of these commercials are sponsored by big companies who are putting the most pressure on small companies and are probably just making these commercials to make you think that they care. Whatever the case, though, it raises the question, why do small companies matter? Who cares if they go out of business? And I'm absolutely convinced that small companies matter more in society than big ones, and that much of our common interest as a society lies in making small companies stronger and big ones less dominant. And there's a couple reasons why. And Cody, we've talked about this on a podcast before. One of the reasons why small companies matter is because working in a small company is generally more meaningful and life-giving than working in a big organization. I think everybody here, we've all worked in small ones and big ones, right, Trace?
Yep.
And we can say unequivocally that when you work in a small organization, you're closer to your customers, you're closer to the person in charge, you see the impact of your work.
Yep.
Right.
And
more connected to the purpose of the organization, all of those things.
Exactly. I don't think there'd be any stretch to say people that work in small companies have a greater sense of contribution and engagement, okay, than in big ones. And so it's really important that we maintain that. And even when it comes to organizational health, Cody, we were talking before the podcast about how important small business is to the whole concept of organizational health.
Yeah, I mean, without small businesses, I don't know that it exists. I mean, in the sense that even when we get inquiries from clients, when we start to get inquiries from bigger and bigger and bigger clients, we have to sit there and go, is this even going to work? Can we even do this? So small business, not only the backbone of like the fabric of our country. I mean, when Tracy, you looked up yesterday before the podcast at
99.9% of all businesses in the United States are small businesses.
Oh, of the number of businesses.
Right.
That's right. Correct.
Which makes sense because they're small.
Which they classify as like under 500, which is still relatively large. But still, I mean, when you think of it that way, I mean, this isn't even controversial to say that we need to protect small business because that is all the jobs.
Well, and yeah, it's probably 75% of jobs.
Yeah,
yes, right. Correct. Yeah.
And yet, you know, it's so funny though. Everybody watches TV and they go, well, I hear about all these big companies all the time. Most people probably work in them, but that's not true at all. It's like when people talk about mega churches,
right?
Everybody's like, well, everybody goes to mega churches. Well, 90% of people in the United States go to church in a small church.
Yep.
But you hear about the big ones because that makes sense. And it's the same with companies, you know, and even if it is under 500, that is still small because there's a darn good chance, you know, the CEO.
Yep.
And there's a darn good chance that if you were to leave that company, people would notice that something wasn't getting done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like over Thanksgiving, I was talking to one of my friends who's worked at big company after big company, banks and consulting firms, and he's miserable. The politics are excruciating. And half the people who work there, especially working remotely, he said people don't even know what they're doing.
Right.
And so that doesn't happen in a small company. If an employee in a small company starts to slack, customers notice, colleagues notice, and that's good.
The importance of like this topic for right now, the context that we're in, which is COVID. And I mean, what's happening right now is that this is one of the largest transfers of wealth in.
Yeah, explain that, Cody.
Well, in the sense that because now our tendency for cost and convenience that we talked about, we'll go into that a little bit more, but for convenience, we default to these big box retailers, like shopping online. There's a handful of companies that come to mind. It's Amazon and Home Depot and Walmart and Costco and those sort of things. And so because they'll ship it to our door the very next day. Well, in the midst of this pandemic where small businesses are suffering, they're closed and hurting, big businesses are gaining, like their stock prices are through the roof because their revenue is way up.
Right.
And so it's now more important than ever for us to say, why should we protect small businesses and how we can do that? And it's down to these, we don't want to sound like one of those commercials that's on the TV, but just in the 5 minutes we had a conversation about doing this podcast, we all made different decisions about where we're shopping this season.
Right. And you know, one of the things we have to keep in mind, it's like, so small companies make organizational health possible. Mm-hmm. Because if they all go out of business and it's times like this that they're really threatened, suddenly we have more and more of our employees in the society working for big companies. Mm-hmm. And there's less and less choice where you work. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be less and less employee health and organizational health because they don't have to be. It harkens back to the days of big oil companies and coal companies where people didn't have a choice of where to work.
Right.
But the other thing about them is, and it's related to this, is that small companies are scrappier and more innovative. Mm-hmm. They try new things. The little store down the street here is trying new things during COVID to stay relevant and to be safe. And we love that. Mm-hmm. So many big companies are like, you know, we're just going to close it down for a while and you can buy things online, but they're not really trying to be innovative. And they don't buck trends.
Right.
You know, the smaller businesses are like trying to buck trends and they're challenging the status quo. And when there's really egregious, I would say like overreaching regulations on them, they try to be creative about how to get around them. And that's good in an innovative society.
Totally.
Whereas big companies are like, nope, we're not going to challenge that. That would be bad for PR. And so we need these little upstart companies because that's where society gets most of its creativity.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and what's interesting is I think normally this conversation takes the tone of patronize them, like, oh, let's help the little guy. And actually, it's that too, because we don't want these people to go out of business. This is their livelihood. They've spent their whole lives creating this. But at the same time, we talk about meritocracy and that the best ideas actually bubble to the surface and innovation and competition. And without these small companies that are putting pressure, I mean, if these small upstarts that actually start doing these innovative things with technology or different ways of selling or different products or curation, that actually puts pressure to make companies better.
Yeah.
You know, and without that, we just have, like you said, no options. And then the big brand name companies that everyone knows can just kind of sit back and relax and not have to worry.
Yeah. And it brings to mind something else that goes on that we really don't like. And that's when big companies acquire small companies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is you've got a group of people innovating and they're disrupting a market a little bit and they're creating a great place to work. And you all know working in a startup is fun and exciting and it's tapping into everybody's potential. And then a big company comes along and says, hey, they might one day be a threat to us. Let's just throw a bunch of money at them. They can all cash out. We'll just go bury their technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we don't have to worry about them anymore.
Right.
That is a terrible thing in an economy. And didn't one just happen the last few days?
Yeah, we were just talking about one that actually made almost no sense at all.
We don't quite get it.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe it does make sense because we're not in that realm, but Salesforce just did a $17 billion acquisition of Slack. Right.
Slack, which was this smaller company that's helping people communicate.
Yeah.
And then this Salesforce automation company, they do a lot more than that. $17 billion.
Well, and what's particularly painful, not just in the sense of like innovation and competition, but I've had multiple friends work at companies that are acquired, and we've worked with companies that acquire other people or have been acquired, and it's this painful loss of their culture. You know, that's one of the things, like the people that work at these companies that are like, we created this, we have our own set of core values, we're really clear about the people we brought in here and how we train them, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, now you're in this family, and we don't value the same things that you value.
Right.
And so from a personal standpoint, even that is painful when you think about it.
You know, and just in case anybody's listening to this thinking, you know, we don't want competition and free markets and things like that. No, you have to have that. We think that's wonderful. But there's something that small businesses do and small organizations do that others don't that we need. And when we give in to convenience only... Mm-hmm. Tracy, you were talking about your dad worked at a big company.
Yep.
And selling to the bigger organizations. And tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. My dad worked in the food industry, and the big box stores would put a lot of pressure on them to basically sell the food in for nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No margins at all.
No margins at all. And it was awful. And what they would do is that the quality would go down. So they'd give them a lesser product because they were squeezing them so hard.
There's no margin for them.
There's no margin at all.
So what happens in society, there's less incentive for people to make quality products because they're getting no margin out of it. And the people that are making all the money are the big box retailers.
Yep. That's right.
And you know, there's nothing wrong with big box retailers. They serve a purpose. And I really think they do.
Sure.
But let's start valuing what the smaller companies do. Right. And let's decide I could get that product a day later, but I'm going to buy it directly from a vendor that makes this. Or we have these whiteboard pens sitting on our desk here. We our whole office here is whiteboards, the studio. And Expo is the company that makes them, Expo markers, and they make things related to whiteboards and such. Well, Matt, our engineer, picked up two of them and it had the name Amazon on it. And I was like, why in the world would Amazon sell whiteboard pens?
Make them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, their own one. Why don't they just be a market for these other companies? And you realize sometimes these big companies just want to eliminate their competition in every market.
Sure.
Whether it's in pharmacies or whether it's grocery stores, all these small grocery stores have shut down because Amazon is now going into grocery stores. And I think it's time for consumers to say, you know, that is bad for society.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if we have to trade off a little bit of convenience for something higher quality, better service, and the social benefits of having small businesses around, I think it's definitely worth it.
Right. And we talked about those concepts of cost and convenience. And somehow we have collectively, you should also say this, that if you're in a position where you have to go for the cheaper option, you should. I mean, that's for your family. Yeah. That's great. But what we've done collectively as a society is to sort of put virtue into, oh, I'm going to save money by going to Walmart or buy the cheapest one that I can find. There's like virtue in that. Or, hey, it's really convenient for me to get it delivered to my door the next day versus having to go out. We have kids sleeping and nap times and all, you know, so, but if we really can actually shift the virtue to, hey, it's actually important for our society and important for the workforce in America and important for innovation and all of these things that we're talking about, you would actually choose that decision and know that it's the better decision, even if it's $3 more a day later, you know?
Right.
And so we even collectively, it was funny because one of our colleagues, Karen, sent out her daughter's doing a toy drive, which for these two charities this winter. And you got the email, Tracy, and tell us your process right as we were having this conversation.
Yeah, so I got the email and of course I want to participate. So I thought, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to go to Amazon. I'll ship a bunch of products or toys to Sophia. And we had this conversation and I decided, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to go and support my local toy store. Mm-hmm. We have this fantastic toy store in the community that I live in.
They wrap things for you. They give you recommendations. They know what you purchased.
The owner is fantastic. It's this little toy store in Danville. It's called Games Unlimited, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, Games Unlimited, Danville, California.
I can't believe they're still around.
I know. And it's fantastic. And I will go there and get all the toys there.
Yeah, it's so funny because we get a Christmas tree every year. For the last like 5 years, we've gone to Costco because it's like super convenient. We're going to get other stuff. The trees are wrapped up and, you know, all bound together. And we just throw it on the top of the car and go home. And it's relatively cheap. And this year, because our daughter's two now, that's not as fun for her to walk through a warehouse and pick out a Christmas tree that she can't see. But we decided to go to this little tree lot that's right down the street from us. And it was this amazing group of guys that literally harvest the trees in Oregon themselves. They cut them all. They put them on a semi. They bring it down. They rope off their little tree lot. When we go in there, they're like, they're shouting Merry Christmas and ringing bells for tips. And my daughter was running through the aisles. The tree was twice the cost. And there was this moment, even while we're at the tree lot, we're looking at the price tag and my wife and I are like, should we do this or should we just like let her run around and then go get one at Costco?
You know? Yeah, don't
and
do
it
that.
Was like, it was like, no, we should support these guys. I mean, they've done this for 17 years. And we felt great about paying double for that because of what
now,
it meant
for people
to
who
them.
Don't have the money for that. Awesome to go to that other place. But let's all, when we don't need to, which is more of the time than we think, let's patronize those stores, patronize in a good way, be patrons, because they provide really good service and an experience. Matt, I remember growing up how many times we went to the tree lots and how many memories we had doing that. Mm-hmm. And you just don't, nobody said, oh, that time we went to Walmart was so much fun, you know? And God bless Walmart for providing things for people that don't have as much money, but we all don't need to run these other companies out of business because it matters.
It does go back to that point, like when we talk about one of the critical questions and the advantages, why do you exist? And some of these big companies, it seems like their why do we exist is to put everyone else out of business.
Right.
And that's the small companies, it's like, you know, it's about serving customers or creating an environment for their workers or some altruistic reason in the world. And so that's sort of the difference you can feel in their strategy even is like, it doesn't matter. You shouldn't want to put your competitors out of, you should want to gain as much market share as you can by delivering the best product, but that's not your goal.
You know,
market share is not the goal.
That's right. And you know, I don't understand constitutional law exactly and business law. I studied economics, but I don't remember all of this. But I do know that people talk about capitalism, and the idea is it's supposed to be a fair playing field. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I remember learning about the Rockefellers and how they would go into it. And this could be wrong, but they would go into a market, like there'd be a stop sign, an intersection, and there'd be a gas station on one corner, and somebody would build a gas station on the other corner, undercut their prices because they were bigger. And then the smaller competitor would go out of business and they own the market.
Yeah.
And that was actually not right. That was against the law. Mm. And I think when we're supposed to be competitive, it's supposed to be within a given space. Mm-hmm. And when we leverage our competitive size or lower prices to drive other people out of business, society suffers.
Yeah.
And that is not what we consider to be fair capitalism. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know where we are in a society for that. I'm always confused. It seems like that goes on. And so I'm just going to take the chance. I'm going to use DuckDuckGo instead of one of the big search engines because they don't use my data for other things. And darn it, why not?
Why not?
And sometimes my sons will go on and go, you know, I could have found that 10 seconds faster if I'd used a different search engine. I'm like, I'm okay.
Yeah. You know, we always have some sort of call to action here. We have certain stores that we share with each other. These small mom, we've talked about the clothing store down the street. There's a coffee shop that my wife and I and our kids go to every Saturday. I would actually love to hear stories of people's favorite small businesses.
Yeah, we'll read them out loud.
Yeah, because these people have put their whole lives into creating. They're passionate about what they do, and we love hearing stories about businesses that were created that are unique. And here's why they're different, and here's how they're standing out in the market. So I would love to hear a few of those if people have.
Yeah, we have four coffee shops within equal walking distance of our office here.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we almost always go to the one that's independently owned.
Yep. That's right.
Because the service is better, the product is better. And hey, Starbucks has a purpose. That's great. Mm-hmm. But it's fine to go to those other places because we value what they have. So that's what we want to ask people to do. Send us your best stories about great customers, or great businesses that have great customer service or innovation or scrappiness that you'd like to support. So as we approach the holidays, when you're online, find the actual vendor that sells something and buy it from them instead of somebody else who might be selling it 10 cents cheaper.
Yep.
And go to your local business and patronize them. Okay, thanks for having us on this week. We will look forward to talking to you next time on At the Table. God bless.